Hello, this is Karen Fresco with the News Gazette dated Wednesday, January 6, 2020. We begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Illinois Impact, Two More Lives Lost in Both Champaign, Ford Counties. State remains in a pause in mitigation moves. 90 lives have been lost to COVID-19 in Champaign County, with Champaign-Urbana Public Health announcing the first two deaths of 2021 on Tuesday. The health district also reported 19 COVID-positive residents hospitalized, up 10 from Monday. Ford County health officials said its two new deaths Tuesday were linked to separate long-term care outbreaks. A woman in her 80s to Heritage Health in Gibson City, a man in his 90s to Accolade Healthcare in Paxton. There has been no movement this week on the statewide mitigation front. A spokesperson for Governor J.B. Pritzker said the administration is in a pause in mitigation moves to see what impact holiday gatherings have on the data. The number of Champaign County healthcare workers and long-term care residents who have received their first vaccine dose rose by 689 Tuesday to 6,011. That's 3.5% of the eligible 16 and older county population. Active cases at the Danville prison fell by 11 Tuesday, with inmate cases up by 1 to 266 and staff cases down by 12 to 25. That brings the recovered count to 593, 481 inmates, 112 staffers. That article by Jeff D'Alessio. Mohammed Seymour Schools, virus testing for staff, students, begins. By Dave Hinton, Mohammed. Close to 500 people were tested Tuesday as the Mohammed Seymour School District rolled out its first day of rapid antigen testing for the coronavirus. Superintendent Lindsay Hall said the testing for students and staff went well. It's a free, quick, easy drive-through, she said. We have an amazing crew of people who are handling it. The testing site remained open until 6 p.m. It involved a swab being placed in each person's nostrils for about 15 seconds. It's not the deep nasal swab, Hall said. The swab itself is handed to the person being tested, unless it's a really small child. Hall said the testing is much similar to the system in place at Marketplace Mall. The swab is then handed to one of the on-site staff and sprayed with a solution to determine a positive or negative result. The results are available within 15 minutes. Results are emailed to the recipient. In the case of a student, the results are emailed to a parent or guardian. District Nurse Nita Bachman is overseeing the process. Four health technicians are assisting. Additional personnel are helping with the clerical portion, entering information into the Illinois Department of Public Health's website. The district received 56,000 of Abbott's Binax Now COVID-19 AG card tests for free from the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. The tests are not considered to be as accurate as other forms, but are considered a good measure of monitoring symptoms. Hall said the testing has taken a lot of organizational oversight, which my district nurse is outstanding at. Mohammed Seymour has been testing staff who exhibit COVID-19 symptoms since mid-December. Tuesday marked the first day of testing for students as they returned from the holiday break. Hall said some staff had tested positive in December. Those who test positive receive more accurate PCR testing. Mohammed Seymour will continue the drive-through testing option each Monday. Testing of each of the district schools will also be offered Tuesday through Friday. Participating in the testing is not mandatory. No one is required to get them, Hall said. It's 100% voluntary. I would classify it as highly recommended. It's one of our many tools in our safety toolbox. It's a way of hopefully catching positive cases earlier and then maybe doing some contact tracing. It's certainly not the end-all to handling COVID-19, but it's a tremendous help. Mohammed Seymour has returned to full days of instruction 4 days a week, Tuesday through Friday. Mondays are full remote learning days for all students. About 30% of students have opted for remote learning only. MS employed a hybrid learning plan during the fall semester, and we got through without any interruptions, Hall said. That plan involved 2 days of in-person learning and 2 days of remote learning for junior high and older students. K through 5 students attended 2 half-days, either morning or afternoon in person, plus remote. Lil Buford's Tolono in uncharted waters with local bar. Officials. Pub remains open in defiance of court order. By Deborah Pressy, Tolono. Village President Rob Murphy said Tolono is in uncharted waters when it comes to dealing with Lil Buford's, a local bar and grill accused of defying county public health officials and a court order by remaining or open for business without a valid health permit. We're not going to close down his business, Murphy said of Lil Buford's and its owner, Jeffrey Buckler. That's not our intention. Murphy said he would, however, like Lil Buford's to be nicer to health officials. My big concern is I don't want anybody hurt in town, and there's been lines drawn in the sand, he said. As liquor commissioner for Tolono, Murphy may be called to adjudicate violations against Lil Buford's, recently noted by the Illinois Liquor Control Commission. A commission agent conducted a complaint investigation at Lil Buford's on December 29 and observed alleged social distancing and mask rule violations, according to Michelle Flagg, industry education director for the commission. The violations will be adjudicated at a later date, she said, and the hearing would be done by the local government authority with jurisdiction. Murphy said he hasn't seen any violations from the State Liquor Control Commission, though Buckler did tell him that that agency had been to his establishment. Murphy also said he'd be inclined to run any decision about Lil Buford's by the village board. Pretty much the general consensus in the community is let them be open, Murphy said of Lil Buford's. From what he observed, Murphy said, Lil Buford's is packed every night. He also is aware that other food establishments in Tolono that are complying with the state restriction forbidding indoor service are hurting, the mayor said. Meanwhile, County State's Attorney Julia Reitz filed a petition Monday asking Judge Ben Dyer to find Buckler in civil contempt and impose sanctions. Dyer issued a temporary restraining order December 31, prohibiting Buckler from operating a food service establishment without a valid health permit. But Buckler has continued to keep Lil Buford's, 102 North Long Street, open and operating, the petition states. The Champaign County Public Health Department suspended Lil Buford's health permit December 17 for defying the state ban on indoor service, a measure intended to help control the spread of COVID-19. The county's petition, filed on behalf of the health department, states that at 7:30 p.m. December 31, Tolono Deputy Police Chief John Brown and Health Department Sanitarian Raymond Mucha went to Lil Buford's and saw patrons being served indoors, none of them wearing masks, and the open sign lit. There were at least 12 customers present. The customers at the bar were immediately next to each other. For the customers at the tables, there were less than 6 feet between the groups, the petition states. Two female employees were not wearing masks. It goes on to state Lil Buford's social media posts have indicated the establishment has remained open through Monday. A post on Lil Buford's Facebook page Monday stated, "Chicken wrap with fries today, dine in or carry out." That was followed Tuesday by this post on the same Facebook page, "Taco Tuesday, beef, steak, or chicken, quesadillas or burritos, trash can nachos, dine in or carry out." If Dyer finds Buckler in contempt of the December 31 temporary restraining order, sanctions could include fines or jail until the order is followed, according to Reitz. At this point, the goal is compliance with the court order and then ultimately with the state restriction, she said. Reitz said it hadn't been determined yet whether the petition would be heard in advance of a hearing already set for 3 p.m. Thursday, when the temporary restraining order is set to expire and a longer-lasting resolution is to be sought. In a separate case in which health authorities suspended a permit for continuing indoor service, a settlement has been entered for Billy Bob's, 105 East Broadway Street, Ogden. Billy Bob's health permit was suspended December 11, but the restaurant bar remained open. On December 31, Judge Roger Weber issued a temporary restraining order prohibiting Billy Bob's from operating without a valid health permit. The settlement agreement states Billy Bob's wishes to avoid further legal challenges and has agreed, along with the County Health Department, to a permanent injunction order. Terms include Billy Bob's agreeing to a re-inspection, submitting a written plan to operate under current county ordinance and state COVID-19 mitigation restrictions, and paying a $50 fee for the reinstatement of its health permit. Jim Roberts, environmental health director for the County Health Department, said Billy Bob's was scheduled to be reinspected Wednesday morning. A life remembered, David Lohr. For years, he was Mr. Little League in Tuscola. By Dave Hinton, Tuscola. Even in his younger years, when most people his age had yet to have their hair change color, Dave Lohr was known as the old man. His hair had turned prematurely white. The man whose name was synonymous with Tuscola Little League for many years was known by players and many others by that nickname. It wasn't a name he minded, friend Duff Hole said. Good-natured, Mr. Lohr took it in stride with a smile. It was a moniker he received gracefully, Hole said. I think he took a liking to it. Mr. Lohr had a volunteer spirit and a gracious attitude. One of those people whom everyone seemed to like, Hole said. He was also a longtime member of the chain gang at Tuscola High School football games, doing that volunteer duty from 1978 to 2013. Mr. Lohr of Tuscola died Saturday evening at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana at the age of 82. He was a great, great guy, Tuscola Athletic Director Hyan Hornaday said. I knew Dave as a little kid and then as a parent, as my kids went through Little League. Even if Mr. Lohr hadn't volunteered for so many years as a baseball-softball official and at football games, he probably would have been in attendance. He was kind of a super fan and was always a friendly face, whether you passed him in the grocery store or in the park taking in a game, Hornaday said. He said as a member of the football chain gang, Mr. Lohr was quick to make friends with opposing coaches because they would stand side by side. And it didn't matter which side was winning. There's not a more friendly face as an ambassador to our schools, Hornaday said. Hole also saw Mr. Lohr from different age perspectives. Mr. Lohr knew him when he was a youngster, swatting Little League baseballs, and he knew him as an adult. He was a player agent for over 40 years of Little League baseball, Hole said. He called me in 1991 and said, I need a Little League coach. I want you to do it. I thought so much of Dave Lohr, I couldn't say no. Hole liked it so much, he served as Tuscola High baseball coach for several years. Mr. Lohr was also an advocate for getting girls involved in softball and recommended many youngsters with special needs to play in the Tom Jones Challenger League in Champaign-Urbana. Mr. Lohr enjoyed baseball so much, he and close friend Bob Taylor would head to Indianapolis to watch the regional Little League baseball tournament about every year. It didn't matter if Tuscola didn't have a team playing. It was always amazing to me to see how many people Dave knew, even over there, Taylor said, and if he didn't know them, he would still talk to them. Mr. Lohr made it a point that Little League was not about winning and losing. It was about getting every player involved, regardless of maturity or talent level, according to several who knew him. Said Taylor, Little League has a rule. You have to play players a certain amount of innings. I had a rule. If a guy didn't show up in practice, he might not play in a game. Dave said, Bob, you can't do that. What if a parent can't get them here? Those kids can't drive, you know. Taylor had to agree that his friend was right, adding that Mr. Lohr would never bend the rules. Taylor said Mr. Lohr liked to kid Taylor's son about a Little League incident in which his son, who had rounded third base before heading to home plate, stopped before scoring and stood watching while his teammate got caught in a rundown between first and second base. Because it was the third out, it meant his team didn't score. Dave, to this day, kidded him about not running all the way, Taylor said. Those who knew him said blue language was not in Mr. Lohr's vocabulary. I never heard Dave Lohr say a swear word, Hole said. Dadgammit was about as bad as he got. His main contribution was he treated every kid alike. He understood Little League baseball wasn't necessarily about baseball, it was about relationships. Dave Lohr was always that positive male influence on every child he passed. His church league softball days played a role in Mr. Lohr meeting his wife. During a game, she was able to steal his wallet so she could meet him. It worked. They were married April 21, 1962. She survives along with two daughters and two grandchildren. Mr. Lohr and his wife would have celebrated their 60th anniversary next year. A native of Alton, Mr. Lohr was a gas line repairman for Silco in Tuscola. Visitation will be from 4 to 6 p.m. Friday at Hilgoth Schrader Funeral Home, 705 South Main Street, Tuscola. Ask the admin A daily question for the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District's Julie Pride. Has there been any discussion about issuing some sort of ID card to verify those people who have received the vaccination? It seems to me that it may be useful in the future in identifying those who are at lower risk of spreading the disease for admission to various businesses. Everyone who receives the vaccine will be provided with a reminder card to come back for their second vaccination. There are currently no plans in place that I am aware of where a vaccination would be required to enter a business. Those who are vaccinated will still need to wear a mask and practice social distancing around others until many more people are vaccinated. From the Our County section, County Executive versus County Board, Judge to Issue Written Ruling, by Deborah Pressey, Urbana. A lawsuit filed by Champaign County Executive Darlene Kloppel against the county board over the extent of her authority is now awaiting a decision by Judge Jason Bohm. Bohm heard arguments Tuesday in a hearing conducted over the phone and said he would issue a written decision at a later date. He also ruled against a motion by Will County, the other county in Illinois with the executive form of government, to intervene in the lawsuit. Kloppel sued the county board in June, partly in connection with her ongoing dispute with the board about whether the county executive or county board chairman has the authority to nominate replacements for elected offices that fall vacant in between terms. Whether it's the executive or board chairman, those appointments still must be approved by the full board. Kloppel is seeking a judicial affirmation that she is the presiding officer of the county board with the authority to bring nominees to fill vacancies to the full board. She also contends that under the executive form of county government, the role of board chair doesn't exist. Local voters narrowly approved a change to the executive form of county government in 2016, and Kloppel was elected as the first county executive for Champaign County in 2018. But the change hasn't gone smoothly, with frequent disputes between Kloppel and former board chairman Geraldo Rosales. When Rosales continued to interview candidates for vacant elected positions and bring his choices to the board. The dispute has continued under new board chairman Kyle Patterson with the recent appointment of Cameron Rabb of Champaign to fill the District 6 seat vacated by Mike Ingram, who was elected County Recorder of Deeds. Jay Simpson, Jay's Take. Be good to me, 2021. I'm going into the new year with an open and clear mind. I have to remind myself to never get too high or low and to always keep a level head. This is revenge season for me. I'm making up for a lot of time lost, so I need to be precise with every move I make. I pray this year brings everybody a newfound focus and the ability to put our mind's work ethic in overdrive to really achieve what we want. This year, let's do less talking and more working. Let the work speak for itself. You don't have to say anything when you mind your own business and do what you're supposed to do. Your glow will tell it all. I really appreciate all the support you all have given me thus far. I came into this whole columnist thing head first, and I felt nothing but love and support from the community since I started. I'm getting better as I go, and this year will be big for me. I will continue to strive to become the best columnist I can be, and pray it takes me to levels I can only dream of. I'm motivated more than ever, and hope you all are, too. Let's prove to ourselves that we can take it to another level and succeed. Once again, I appreciate you all for following me and taking your time to read Jay's take. Jay Simpson writes for the News Gazette. His column appears Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays. He can be reached at jsimpson@news-gazette.com. From the opinion pages, from our readers, new program, great idea. Our Champaign County Sheriff's new initiative of a dedicated social worker to handle non-criminal calls and other crises is cause for celebration. Let us hope it will be emulated. I would like to share my own experience when this would have saved many problems and police time. 15 years ago, I was very sick and still recovering from pancreatic cancer that was compounded by grief over the untimely death of my husband. He left me with two Airedales who barked uncontrollably. A neighbor called the police often to complain. At the same time, my doctor had prescribed a medication that made me woozy and drowsy so that I did not notice the barking. The police visited me many times, giving me citations of some sort. Eventually, I had to employ a criminal attorney, go to court, pay $2,000 fine, and give the dogs away. All this while, I was very ill and horribly grieving. This is my one and only time of breaking the law. I have never, before or since, done anything remotely criminal. Yet I now have a record. When all police deal appropriately with situations like this, we will all be winners. Many people think it is just the poor people of color or the disenfranchised who will benefit. But everyone will be helped, especially the mentally ill, who through no fault of their own end up at odds with the law. Let us praise Sheriff Hoyerman and hope this sort of initiative spreads quickly. By Elizabeth Feltz Olmsted, Urbana. Seek policy change from Health Board. Common sense must prevail. By now, nearly every other county in the state has allowed restaurants to reopen for indoor service. You can go into a restaurant in Springfield today, order a sandwich, and have a beer. Despite this wave of indoor dining, the denizens of other counties are not dying in the streets en masse. The CU Public Health District is grandstanding, and its insistence on this issue is costing taxpayers, businessmen, and low-income workers dearly, with precious little public benefit to show for it. The Public Health District is governing by three people: Danielle Chinoweth, Andy Kornstrom, and Kyle Patterson. Call them and ask them to reconsider. By Phil Fisella, Champaign. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette, dated Wednesday, January 6, 2021. Please stay tuned.